Hey there, fans of the Wretched Hive. Before we get to the show, I want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial of the Audible service just by going to www.audibletrial.com/hive. That's spelled H-I-V-E. From there, you can get over 180,000 titles to choose from that you can play on your iPhone, over Android, if you have a Kindle, one of those, or even if you're still stuck on one of them MP3 players. Maybe even a Zune, if that's still out there. Are those still out there? They're probably still out there. You can play it on a Zune, I'm sure, because they took MP3s. Why not? Anyway, enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Wow, what a busy couple of weeks we've had. We could record a 3-hour show easily tonight. But I don't think that's going to happen. Because you have found, episode 35 of the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, April 28th, 2017. And I'm your host, Steve Baldwin. I've got the rest of the Hive with me. And we have a lot to talk about tonight, guys. I'm not sure how we're going to get through this. We've got Star Wars Celebration to cover. The rest of Celebration, anyway. We've got episode 9 news. We've got a release date for episode 9.
Nine!
We've got Kathy Kennedy correcting Bob Iger. It's true. Yeah, we've got it for
right.
Somebody's got to. Man.
The chairman and chief executive officer of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger.
There you go.
Mostly I'm impressed she stayed awake through his comment to realize he needed to be corrected.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited for this show. We have a lot to cover. Let's get right into it. Joining me, my Wookiee co-pilot, Greg Lent.
Steve, thanks for having me. It's so good to be here. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your patronage to our little show. I'm just here to let you know we will not kneel before Zod. We will not bow down. We will not offer up our possessions, our very lives here, citizens of planet Houston.
Wow, welcome to Supercast, or whatever this is now. I don't know. Awesome, nice reference. I like that. You wrote that this afternoon, didn't you?
I did.
All right. Also, join.
I'm fueled by Winchester tonight. By Winchester. No, Woodford. I'm sorry, Woodford tonight.
Woodford. Ooh, break out the good stuff. Is that in the Stormtrooper decanter?
That is what is being kept in the Stormtrooper decanter at present. And so it was a proper drink for the Wretched Hive tonight.
That thing is awesome. We need to put that on our Facebook page so people know what we're talking about. But that Stormtrooper decanter is genius.
A piece of genius.
Awesome. Also joining us, lifelong Star Wars fan, Scott Ivansky.
Oh, thank you, Steve. I am happy to be here tonight. Long story short, I won't even get into it. I've been wounded over the weekend. I took one for the team. So therefore, I am mixing my alcohol with my drugs.
Oh, that's good.
It's good, right? It's healthy.
Yeah, wash down those Tylenol 3s with Jameson's. That's probably a good idea.
Giving that kidney a workout tonight.
Also joining us, the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
I am here. I don't know how inebriated on a scale of 1 to however much these guys are I am tonight, but I'm getting there.
Excellent. Well, it's early.
Well, if you can rate yourself on an inebriation scale, you're not doing it right. You're not inebriated enough. That's how I feel about it.
I did get a comment in the last week that we talk about alcohol and being drunk on the show a lot.
Was it in the negative?
We're an adult like content podcast, so aren't we?
That's right. Yeah.
Was this from one of your children, Steve?
No, it was not from one of my children that I know of.
Hey, drink up, Dad.
I also got the comment.
Scott, that... God damn it, you big boozer. Now you're driving away listeners.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? For that, I'm going to crack open a new bottle of chicken
stew. He literally is cracking open a new bottle. I love it.
The Wretched Hive brought to you tonight by Jameson.
That's right.
Remember, drink responsibly.
The other comment I got was that we take too long to introduce this gentleman. So we're going to get through this really quick tonight, guys. And finally, we have
Drunky McGee.
Dave!
Look.
Under no circumstances.
Unless you offer him a drink first.
Should you ever
approach him without a drink.
And I mean ever! Call him
Dirty.
Harry.
Martini.
Potter.
Greetings and salutations. We are 5x5 tonight, and I guess after that little bit of news, I should not talk about the wedding reception I was at this weekend.
Ooh.
Should not talk about how it was a top 5 hangover Monday morning and Monday afternoon. And I should not mention how the lovely, wretched wife and I, Christine, basically made sure that that open bar, whoever paid for it, really got their money's worth. Like, we single-handedly tried to break the bank on that one.
I love it.
Wait a minute. Did you guys get married during this Sunday celebration?
No. I did throw it out there and offer it to the commissioner who was there, but it was contingent on another couple also doing it, and they chickened out. So the chance was there.
I get it. Well,
well
the chance
played.
Was there, and we had attorneys present, and they assured me that it could be retroactive. It was just a petition to the court, and they would be more than happy to assist with that. But they were also boozing a lot too, so who knows?
I think it's illegal for brothers and sisters to marry anyway, so it's probably wise that it didn't happen.
That's funny. Man, somebody keep the drinks flowing for Greg tonight. He's on fire. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said before the show started, that Windows update he did is fantastic because his video picture, he looks at least 25 years younger.
He updated to Windows 85, I think, is what he did. My goodness. Well, guys, we have a lot to cover, so we're going to get right into this.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
I forgot to mention before I went into the news, really quick, catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Wretched Hive Podcast. And also, new, debuting this week on our show, we have a new home on the web. And that is at the web address www.thewretchedhive.net. Right now, that thewretchedhive.net is pointing towards a blog, and we are posting all of our show notes, all of the links from the stories that we refer to will be up on that page the day that the show hits the airwave. So check it out, www.thewretchedhive.net. And you can also call us on our voicemail line, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. We would love to hear from you. Leave a message, and it will very likely get on the air of a future episode of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Now, back to the news. Guys, we had a huge couple of weeks, starting with Celebration, but you know, there's a lot of news in Celebration that we can talk about, but there's been news since then too. I mean, the news, you know, didn't dry up after Celebration ended. So let's talk a little bit about Star Wars Celebration. I don't know if our listeners that subscribe to the podcast proper had a chance to listen to our review of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi teaser trailer that Greg, Dave, and I got to do. Nico and Greg, we missed you guys.
Scott, Dave, and you.
I'm sorry. What am I saying? Scott, Dave, and me.
I did not miss you, Greg. I just wanted to go on record with that.
I think I saw you later that day, didn't I?
I think you did.
Was he drunk at a wedding? Was that the same day? No,
I saw Scott later that day. I saw Dave the very next day. I saw Scott later that day, though, and I'm like, did I miss something this morning? He's like, fucking idiot.
Well, check it out if you haven't listened to us. It's an hour, but it's a quick hour. It was like rapid fire. We went through the trailer scene by scene, and I like that episode. I listened back to it a couple days later, and I liked our analysis, which is rare. I thought we were on point, which I don't know what happened that day. We must have, I don't know, eaten our Star Wars Cheerios or something. But
you did not have Nico and I around to derail the conversation.
That's very possible. But so check that out. But a lot of other news coming out of Star Wars Celebration outside of the trailer, which was fantastic. I thought it was a great teaser trailer, and I'd love to hear Greg and Nico. What were your thoughts on the trailer? We haven't really talked about this with you yet. What did you think? And do you think it's comparable to other teaser trailers that we've seen?
Yeah, you know, you and I actually have not really touched base. I think we traded a couple texts the morning it came out. We would not really talked about it directly. I thought it was a good trailer. I was not overly impressed with it until the very end when they get to the big revelation of Luke saying, you know, that the Jedi have to end. Then it really just blew my hair back. It really just really piqued my interest at that point and got the theories and things running through my brain of what could that possibly mean. But up to that point, I thought it was just, okay, cool. All these people are coming back and everything like that. And there was a familiar feel to the trailer, and there's a big reason why for that, but I don't know if that's in the show notes or not, but it was very familiar and looked very similar to something else that had occurred, so maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I can't remember if I put that in here, but if there's a YouTube video comparing side-by-side the Episode 9, The Last Jedi trailer, with the Force Awakens teaser trailer, and it's like it's pushed out of the same Play-Doh mold. I mean, there's almost a shot for shot likeness to the flow of it.
First of all, I'm going to correct it just so we don't get hammered by the hardcore fans. It's Episode 8 trailer or teaser trailer, mm-hmm. not Episode 9. And also, there is an amazing side by side comparison. There are a few off moments there, but really, what they captured in this one. I have a really interesting theory on this I've discussed with a few people outside of the Hive that I would love to throw in here if we're going to talk about it right now or is it later?
Well, go ahead.
Cool. Yeah, I don't see it coming up in the show notes, so let's get this out of the way since it was a topic that was brought up. Let's just do it.
Yeah, I found it very interesting that somebody else brought it to my attention, so I went and researched the trailer, the fan-made side-by-side shot comparison of the Force Awakens teaser trailer. Very similar in characters that pop up at the exact same moments, similar space battle sequences where you see the ships coming down, hovering over the surface. A lot of similarities here, and I thought that was fascinating that, again, if this is a Disney marketing, not just, you know, hey, let's copy what we've done before, but an actual marketing ploy to kind of keep you in the familiar sense of Star Wars, by using the original mold from the first teaser trailer, it was brilliantly done. You can pretty much line them up side by side and see almost the same shot for shot type of things. You know, in the first one, Finn pops up in that opening moment in the same sequence at almost the exact same time. You see Rey pop up on the screen or fall over onto the screen. Just wonderful little moments like that.
It was so close.
Yeah.
That there's no way it wasn't planned that way.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it was just, you know, let's cheat ourselves and copy the same thing we did before. I think it's done on purpose. I think Disney is just and the people at Lucasfilm are just that methodical about keeping it in context with previous stuff that's been released. I think it's an amazing thing for them to be doing.
Well, I think it is possible that it was a coincidence. I mean, if you have the same editor, the same guy sitting at the editing bay with the same artistic sort of feel.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I mean, Scott, you're a photographer. You know, you sort of gravitate towards certain angles, certain exposures, and you know, you could take two different photos and have them look pretty similar. And I think something like that could have been happening with this trailer. Nico, what do you think? Do you think that it was sort of a happy mistake, or is this a case of like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Well, I mean, I think I only got to see it the day that it came out, so I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to it, but I do know, I mean, the biggest thing that I saw about the trailer was the difference in Kylo Ren's scar. It was really the only thing that I stuck out to me when I watched it.
Yeah, that was something actually that we did not talk about on our review, unless one of you mentioned it and I don't remember. But the Kylo's scar is significantly different, and the director of the movie, Rian Johnson, addressed that during one of the celebration panels. He said that it just looked goofy going right over the bridge of his nose, so I moved it.
I think that's really great that he didn't like try and deflect it. He didn't try and dance around it. He says, yeah, we tried it that way and it looked dumb, so I went with something that looked better. So
yeah, he didn't try to retcon it at all, right? He's just like, yeah. Nah, I thought it looked dumb, so I moved it.
Well, let me counter something that you were saying. Yeah, Steve, I do the photography stuff, and I understand what the point you were making earlier, but we don't know for a fact if it was the same editor that did this trailer. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where I'm going to throw the credit out to the Disney and Lucasfilm teams. You know, they could have just sat down and said whoever was doing it. If it is the same guy or same girl, that's great. If it's not, I think it's a great way for those teams to be involved in this, because there's something more than just, hey, it's a side-by-side shot comparison of the first teaser going on here. There's a theme that's going on as well. Mm-hmm. There's the concept of the light and the dark. And if you watch the original teaser trailer for The Force Awakens, you'll remember that it opens up with, oh my goodness, who was doing the voiceover in that one? Was that Snoke?
Yeah, it's Andy Serkis, yeah.
Yeah, doing the, there's been an awakening.
There's been an awakening.
Have you felt it? Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to the way that Luke is presenting his overdub in this, it's very similar. And then instead of him being the one to answer his own question, it goes to Rey, who answers, I see light, I see darkness, mm-hmm. and balance. And I think it's what you're seeing is, yes, we're getting a side-by-side comparison shot, but also in the same tone of the words, you're getting what was exactly said in the first trailer or teaser from The Force Awakens, now set in this new teaser, mm-hmm. but just a little bit more. There's something more than just the light and the dark. And Snoke hints at it by saying, there's been an awakening. Have you felt it? We never really got that answered in the first movie. At least I never felt that was a fully answered question or a thought that was out there. Now we're starting to get some answers based off of a teaser. And I think that's fascinating that suddenly you're getting Luke saying, there's so much more.
Well, that's what's so cool, too, about the Star Wars franchise is that, you know, fans and like us, we'll dig through these trailers. We'll look at the toy boxes, you know, the trading card. We discover names of characters by looking at the back of trading cards before the movie comes out. I mean, it's so cool how these hints are dropped along the way.
I'm still analyzing the shit out of that trailer.
Are you kidding? Yeah. It's awesome.
I am just mesmerized by how much Scott looks like Max Headroom tonight.
No, he disappeared. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. He does look a little bit like Max. Well, there's a nice article that I've been referring to at TheVerge.com, and this will be in our show notes. Again, if you go to TheWretchedHive.net, you can find all of our links in the show notes. And title of the article is 13 Things We Learned from This Year's Star Wars Celebration. So I'll run this down really quick. The Last Jedi, of course, we have the trailer. Kelly Marie Tran is an actress. Whoa, there's a Kelly Marie Tran fan right there.
Torgo is a huge fan of Kelly Marie Tran. Yeah. Can't get enough of her.
Plays a character named Rose, and she's cute as a button, and was on the Last Jedi panel, so she seems very cool. Billy Dee Williams. Not in The Last Jedi. There's been a lot of fan talk and conjecture about that possibility. Apparently it's not happening.
disappointing.
Yeah, very. Maybe we'll see him in episode 9. Oh, there's Max. Oh, Max Headroom. Now, this was interesting. Carrie Fisher will not appear in episode 9. This is in direct contradiction to what we reported and many others reported in the last couple of weeks before Celebration, with I think the Carrie Fisher's brother coming out in the media and saying that she will be in episode 9. Now, I'm not making a mistake here this time. This is episode 9. We know she's in episode 8, but she will not be in episode 9. Which I thought was really interesting and very different from what we had heard before. And I have a clip here. This is Kathleen Kennedy on Good. I think this is from Good Morning America, and she addresses the issue of Carrie Fisher in episode 9. Let's see if I can
Todd
play this.
Todd Fisher has said that his sister, that Carrie, will be a part of episode 9. In what capacity are we using pre-shot footage?
You know, there's probably he was probably confused because we finished everything in 8, and Carrie is absolutely phenomenal in the movie, and we're so happy that we were able to complete shooting in the summer. Unfortunately, Carrie passed away, so by the time we were well underway with episode 9 in our thoughts, we had not written script yet, but we've regrouped. We started over again in January, so. Sadly, Carrie will not be in 9.
So, but we'll see her.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of her in 8, which is great.
So there you go. From the horse's mouth, Kathleen Kennedy, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia will not be in episode 9. Well, technically, she didn't say Princess Leia won't. She said that Carrie won't. But that is, we talked a lot about that last episode, so I just wanted to make sure we touched on that. My favorite part of that is that her saying that Bob Iger must have been confused.
Well, didn't she say Todd Fisher, not Bob Iger?
Oh, did she? Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. No, you're right, though. Bob Iger is definitely confused.
She fact-checked Bob Iger on something else.
Okay. What did she fact-check him on?
That we were going to learn how Han Solo got his name the Han Solo movie.
Yes.
But, you know, thinking about it, why is Todd Fisher speaking up about what Carrie Fisher is going to be, you know, why is he out there putting that out there anyway? He's not involved in the production of the movie at all, in any way, shape, or form.
Theoretically, I think the estate of Carrie Fisher would have to give permission for her likeness to be used in episode 9.
Which is Billy Lloyd at this point, not Carrie Fisher.
Right, but I'm saying that's theoretically how he could know about it, is if he was consulted on that.
Right. And I think I need to double check this, but I thought that there was some other audio clip of somebody else, another director maybe, was it Colin Trevorrow or whatever, talking about the possibility of using excess footage that would work in episode 9. I'm almost certain that was out there somewhere. I'll have to dig that up. But
that was me 2 weeks ago.
Oh, and that was Greg.
He looks a lot like Colin in that picture he's got up tonight, though, so I can understand the confusion.
Greg is the real GL, as we know.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's right, damn it! Don't doubt me!
I'm still going to go out on a limb here and say that I think she will show up. This sounds like Kathleen Kennedy kind of, wait a minute, let's cover our... Let's stop saying this until we actually have something, you know, official to really announce. They haven't even started shooting that movie, so I don't know. Give them a chance. I think Leia's going to be in 9.
Wow.
Are you willing to eat a testicle?
I'm not. You guys.
I'm the drinker
on the show. I'm not going to eat testicles.
That's a great point, Greg. So on the testicle eating scoreboard,
yes.
Are you in the clear? Because your thing was that the trailer would be released by a certain time, wasn't it?
By the end of the Last Jedi panel at Star Wars Celebration, and success.
Technically, I think you said – you gave a time. I think you said by 10 a.m. or something.
Mm-hmm. 10 a.m. Pacific time. I think I said 9:30, but maybe 10. And it occurred at about 9 a.m. Pacific.
We're trying to catch you on a technicality here.
He paid
you
paid
did
a lot
not.
Of
the-
He paid a lot of attention to that for it not being really relevant to the question. Did you notice that?
Well, understandably, my God, I wouldn't want to eat my own testicle. But no, I think Greg's in the clear here. He called it. He was right about that. They had a trailer. Although when Rian Johnson was kind of when he teased the poster,
yeah.
First, were you sweating a little bit, Greg?
No, I wasn't, and you know I'm not gonna go out and say that I called it. I don't think I was really going out on a very far limb at that point. I think you had the more bold prediction for episode 9, and I can't remember off the top of my head what it was, but you had some testicle ingestion going on yourself for something to happen by episode 9 that I, to this day, do not think is going to happen. I just remember it's being something so outrageous that I'm thinking there's no way that would happen. But yeah, you've got a testicle eating on it.
It was someone appearing as a Force ghost, I think.
Yes, I think that's right. Yeah, Hayden Christensen.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was. I think Hayden Christensen appearing as a Force ghost in... did I say episode 9 or 8? I don't remember.
I think he said by episode 9. I don't think he limited yourself to 8, but I think he said by episode 9.
Thank God.
I honestly don't think that's going to happen. So right. I think you may be munching balls, sir. So I hope you're ready for that.
At least they'll be my own, my God.
Yes, because that makes it okay.
Try something new.
So wait, we got a listener complaining about the amount of alcohol talk we have in here, but not ball munching talk.
The ball munching talk is relatively new. Let's face it, Greg opened that Pandora's box last week.
Yeah, Greg got that ball rolling last week.
Oh, wow.
Greg, that's a new segment. What would you be willing to eat balls for?
Greg's been juggling that for a while now.
Ooh.
I've been funneling that between my fingers for a while.
This conversation's getting a bit hairy for me.
it's a little out of hand right now.
I'm just going to have to put that right back in the sack for a while.
Guys, I'm going to sit back and just swing in the breeze.
I'm just going to turn to my microphone and cough. Okay, are we done? Is that...
Insert testicle innuendo here.
That's all the testicle humor for right now, but we may come back to it later.
I went back to the booze.
It's a long show.
Can anybody hear me? Testies, 1, 2, 3. Can anybody hear me?
You have 3 of them? There's a pill for that.
Oh, man. You haven't gotten the balls to eat your own testicles.
Oh, damn.
What were we talking about?
Star Wars. Yep.
Han Solo. Boy, yeah. Episode 8.
So Hayden Christensen will appear as a Force ghost. That's what, Greg, you agree with me. Good. I'm glad. Thank you.
I don't think I'm quite there yet.
Fine. You're not in the ballpark with that one?
I tried to get up, but he keeps dragging me back in.
Oh, man. You're really testicling my patience right now.
Oh, damn.
All right, what else did we learn at Celebration? So Star Wars Animation. So we were going to cover this a little bit later, but we'll cover it now since it was released. Since the news came out at Celebration, it looks like Rebels Season 4, which will debut this fall, will be the last season of Star Wars Rebels. That was announced by Dave Filoni and crew. That does not mean the end of Star Wars Animation, however. There's another Star Wars animation project coming out in the fall called Forces of Destiny. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have detail there, but I thought that was interesting.
Do we think that they're ending the run on Rebels a little too soon, or has it run its course? I mean, I think Steve, you and I are the only regular watchers of this show. What's our take on this here?
Well,
only 4 seasons of Rebels.
Well, story-wise, I think it's fine. Story-wise, I think the show, you know, has served its purpose helping bridge to Rogue One. And in terms of the length of the run of the show, I always root for a show like this to go 5 seasons because I could be wrong about this, but I think that 5 seasons is sort of the Mendoza line for getting to syndication. So once you have about 100 episodes that the show becomes syndicated, and I always root for these guys like Filoni and the guys that I'm fans of to get a show into syndication so it'll live a bit longer. But I think story-wise it's been pretty compelling, and I'm looking forward to season 4, and I'm okay with it. How do you feel about it, Greg?
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it too. I mean, it's a good show. It's not like must watch TV or anything like that, but it's been very good. I've enjoyed it. It got me back into Star Wars stories outside of the movies, because I was not a huge fan on Clone Wars, and I understand I'm in the minority of that, and that the later seasons got much better than the earlier seasons, and it's still in my destiny to someday go back and watch those episodes, but I haven't gotten there yet. But yeah, I think I'm okay with it ending now. It seems like, you know, something's going to have to happen with these characters because they're catching up to a timeline in their own continuity that, you know, they're going to have to make some hard decisions. What's going to happen with all these characters at the end of the run? Are, you know, because as far as Obi-Wan is concerned, there are no more Jedi left out there. So right. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go in season 4. I like the show too. I'm definitely a fan of the show. When they come out with the ultimate Blu-ray box set, that's not really the ultimate set, that, you know, that'll come later, but I'll probably buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the show enough to invest. That's good. And yeah. You know, one of the cool things about the show is that you know, it covers a lot of about Thrawn, about Grand Admiral Thrawn, one of the, you know, characters that I know all of us on this show know and love, and many Star Wars fans have a fond place in their heart for Grand Admiral Thrawn. Mm-hmm. And Dave, I think, put this on our little chat thread before the show, that another character from Heir to the Empire will make an appearance on Star Wars Rebels, and that's, is it Rook?
I've always pronounced it Rook.
Rook, that will be voiced by Warwick Davis. And there was a cool quote from Filoni, a funny quote somewhere I read. He said, "I needed him to sound like someone I could not trust, so that's why I hired Warwick Davis." that's going to be fun, though.
I do think it will be interesting to see, because I feel like the Writers Guild strike is going to happen, and that is of course going to throw a monkey wrench in all television, you know, scripted television production until that can get resolved. So I'll be interested to see if Rebels is actually going to come out when they think it's going to come out.
I mean, at this point, I would think that those shows have been written. I mean, do they push that close to production of the show to have a strike affect the release dates of the show?
Yeah, I mean, they may have the show roughly broken out and plotted at this point, but they'll be scripting close to up to production time of a TV show, typically.
Unless you're like a Game of Thrones, which is already done and just is in post-production at this point. But yeah, scripted TV shows usually I think they're filming Walking Dead right now for next season. Mm-hmm. So they're in the middle of filming for Walking Dead, and so that comes back October. So you're 4 months ahead, 4 months out. So
yeah.
I don't know about that, Greg. I've read a couple things online that saying shows like Walking Dead aren't going to make that cut.
No, maybe they're not filming yet then.
Yeah, I think it's more summertime that they start filming, and this is around the time that the writers will start kicking in with the scripts for individual episodes. So it's probably not going to happen.
And when is the strike deadline looming? When is that?
It's this weekend sometime.
Yeah. So they wouldn't even be able to get one full episode out in time for this thing.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to have to. If this Writers Guild happens, you're going to have to go to podcasts to get your entertainment a lot more than you have been.
Woohoo!
Which is good news for us.
We might get up to 50 listeners. Wow. All right. Cool. Other news that came out of Celebration that worth noting, I think we talked a little bit about Star Wars Battlefront 2. The point of the last show, we had a trailer out that looked pretty good. And so there was a big panel for Star Wars Battlefront 2 at Celebration.
And I think there's a novel associated with Battlefront 2 coming out as well.
Yeah, Infernos, Battlefront Inferno Squad. And this is, again, reading on TheVerge.com. Battlefront Inferno Squad, which is set in the aftermath of A New Hope in Rogue One, which shows off the close-knit nature of the new canon.
And it's written by one of our favorite novelists, Christy Golden.
Oh. Okay. Great.
From Little Golden Books, Christy Golden?
No, of Bloodline and Lost Stars.
Okay. I did read Bloodline. Yeah. Bloodline was not my favorite.
Hey, book. You missed out on Lost Stars, my friend. You need to go back and look at that.
They're adapting that to a manga style comic book.
They certainly are. Actually, we've got that in the notes here in io9.gizmodo.com. The excellent Star Wars novel Lost Stars is being turned into manga. Manga?
It's manga and it's anime.
Thank you.
Okay. And it's not manga and anime. It's the
other
way
around. Oh my god, are we these people now?
Mm-hmm. They're called weebs, Dave.
It's weebs. Being turned into mangame, is what you're saying.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. This pronunciation is coming from who again? Greg?
From Darth Plagueis.
Plagueis? I'm going to call it manga from now on.
I've gotten this information from a very surly 14-year-old in my house. So
yep. So manga it is. All right. Here we go.
Now this is. It indicates Claudia Gray is the author of Lost Stars. I think we might be confusing the two.
I might be.
But that's okay. But Claudia Gray, I think, did write this and Bloodline. Wait. Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
That's okay.
Hang on.
But we can talk about this.
I'm checking something.
No, that's fine. We talked about this a little bit, actually, that I'm looking forward to this for sure. I've got a surly 16-year-old who's into the manga. And Star Wars, and so I'm sure she'll be psyched for this. And actually, this is a good time, since we mentioned this book, to talk about our sponsor tonight, guys, Audible.com. That's right, Audible.com has been a sponsor for a long time now. They're a great service. We've been thrilled to be associated with them. And as always, for you listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so that you can give their service a shot. And it's really an outstanding service. You can get audiobooks in almost any format, download them to your computer, burn them on a CD, put them on an iPhone or an MP3 player. There's over 250 Star Wars titles available, including the book that we were just talking about, Lost Stars, written by Claudia Gray, and this is narrated by Pierce Craven. So I've got a sample here. Check it out. Star Wars Lost Stars by Claudia Gray.
Maybe he was distracted by the promise of the spectacle they would see that day. The display of flying power and flying techniques by vessels of the Imperial fleet. Or maybe Dalvin was embarrassed because he'd realized Thane had identified the ship when he couldn't. He says he's going to the Imperial Academy, Thane thought. But that's just because he thinks it will make him important. Dalvin doesn't know every single ship like I do. He doesn't study the manuals or practice with a glider. Dalvin will never be a real pilot.
He'll never be a real pilot. And you can find out why by...
I'm a real boy!
...downloading Star Wars Lost Stars by Claudia Gray tonight, today! Just by
solid book.
It's a great book. A lot of fun. I thought it was a little bit like, I always hearken it back to Twilight. I read the first Twilight book. And it feels a little bit like Twilight in the Star Wars universe, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/hive. That's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audio book. Go check it out right now. So that is our sponsor.
Well, check it out after you're done listening to this podcast. Finish the podcast first, because I guarantee you the good stuff's coming. We're going to stop talking about this goddamn Lost Stars book.
It's good. You got to check it out.
Steve, did you just try and convince me to go get a book based off of the fact that this was a YA Star Wars Universe Twilight-like book?
It is not. I have never read Twilight, but I guarantee it is nothing like Twilight.
Okay.
Wait a minute. If you've never read Twilight, how can you say that?
Because I understand it, Twilight is the very moving story of a young woman's choice between necrophilia and bestiality. And Lost Stars is nothing like that.
So you have read. there are no glittering vampires in Lost Stars. I'll say that.
Are there any sparkling Wookiees?
They're all sparkling, aren't they?
Possibly. Possibly a star, a sparkling Wookiee or two. All right. Anyway, let's get back to the news here, guys. So, finishing up our brief overview of what is that?
The Wookiee right there.
There goes another Wookiee.
A Wookiee got his wings. That's so special.
One of the best parts of Celebration, I thought, and I don't have any audio here. But it would behoove us to go back, and we could do a whole hour on the 40th anniversary panel. Was really started off Celebration with a bang, with George Lucas walking out, introduced by Kathleen Kennedy, and all of the living principal cast of the original trilogy, I should say, essentially getting turns with George on stage, getting to spend a little time with him. They also brought out Hayden Christensen, the future Force Ghost, in episode 8 or 9, which I thought was great to bring him out and spend a little time with George. And, you know, Hayden has taken so much shit from us and from other fans over the years, you know, due to his, you know, hatred of sand and his seemingly lackluster acting in the movies in episode 2 and 3, episode 2 in particular. The fans really embraced him. And I walked away from watching that panel a bigger fan of Hayden Christensen than I have been in the past.
Yeah, you know, he, you know, not only embraced it and really ran or the fans, I mean, embraced him. He also embraced them and really ran with it, too, because, you know, the one person thought they had the greatest idea ever. Turns out it wasn't one person. It was about 100 people, because there were so many pictures of him posing with fans and bags of sand, jars of sand.
Awesome.
He was signing bags of sand and jars of sand. So he really embraced it. Really had a good sense of humor about it. Really was a trooper the whole weekend. Didn't, you know, really seemed to enjoy himself, you know, despite everybody having fun, you know, really just kind of taking the piss out of him, as they say. So it was all in good fun. He enjoyed it. They enjoyed it. And lots of really funny pictures coming out of that.
That was really great. I was really happy for that. When he walked out on stage, what an ovation he got. I mean, it was huge. The fans really, really welcomed him back to the Star Wars universe. Yeah. That was very cool.
Well, and this, you know, and going back to George as well, I mean, this is the first major event he showed up, first major Star Wars event he showed up at in years. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was shocked when he came out. I mean, I was like, wow, they got George to come out for this.
That's it was so cool. I thought that was, I was just, my breath was taken away. At Celebration Anaheim, if you remember, they were leading up to The Force Awakens, and there was, you know, a lot of talk about what's George's involvement, and he was when Lucasfilm was sold to purchased by Disney, they said he was a consultant. Then he was taken off the film, and there was this sort of distance, this sort of awkward silence from George as the next Star Wars movie is coming out. And so for him to just walk out on stage, for Kathy Kennedy to introduce him in the way that she did, it was brilliant and good for them, good on them for honoring the maker.
Yeah, agreed.
Also, we got a great tribute to Carrie Fisher. Wonderful, wonderfully produced video. Some never or rarely seen footage of Carrie during the time of episode 4 when it was being filmed and released in the early 70s.
I think my favorite bit in that, because one of the points they make is that she still knows all the lines by heart and can do them at the drop of a hat. Mm. And I think my favorite bit from it is they collected these various snippets of her giving the speech to Obi-Wan from over the years and just edited them all together. So you just hear the speech once, but you see Carrie Fisher giving it in like 5 different settings over a 30-year period. And the delivery is just flawless from the audio running between it.
Yep. Yep, agreed. That was wonderful. Definitely pulling on the heartstrings there. Her daughter's tribute was also rather touching, and Billy Lord came out in a white dress, looking very reminiscent of the princess. I thought that was great. She certainly carried herself off very well. So I just thought that was a great, great panel. And then at the end with bringing out John Williams to conduct the Orlando Orchestra, that was something special, for those fans in that room. Really got treated to something special there. Very, very cool.
The feed would have held up during all of that, though. There were so many problems with the feed trying to watch that thing live. It was really? Kind of a mess.
You know, were they using Skype?
They must have been. They were in the middle of a Windows update and using Skype, I think, when they were running that feed.
So I did not watch it live. I watched it after the fact. So it was choppy. What was going on there?
Yeah, it was super choppy. It would skip every now and then. Yeah, it was kind of a mess. There were comments all over the YouTube page later on. Even one of the videos they had posted up was the direct feed, and so everybody who tried to watch this one video I'm not going to say it was unwatchable, but it was very annoying to sit through until they finally put up a quality post of the panel and the performance and everything like that. Mm. That doesn't take away from the fact that it was still very special, and I watched pretty much every minute of that Force Awakens panel and the John Williams performance, or the 40 years panel, the 40th anniversary panel, and going on afterwards. So it was really good.
It's up at StarWars.com. Definitely worth a viewing. For every Star Wars fan. I imagine people listening to this show have seen it, but if you haven't, it's up at StarWars.com on YouTube. You can pretty easily find it, and we've got links in our show notes here to that.
So, and on the website.
And our website. That's right, thewretchedhive.net. Check it out. Now, what's interesting also is what we didn't learn. What we didn't learn at Star Wars Celebration Orlando. Number one, we didn't really hear anything about the next Han Solo film. There was no trailer. There was no art. There really wasn't much going on there. And that's fine. It's going to be interesting because episode 8, of course, is, due this December. What is it? December 15th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months later in May, we've got the Han Solo film. So we're going to get 2 new Star Wars tentpole films in 6 months, and then we're gonna have to wait a bit for episode 9 in 2019.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting. This schedule of movies here, because you know, as things have led up, we've gone from Force Awakens to Rogue One to The Last Jedi, and there's been a solid year in between, and so they've had theatrical release. Home video release, next movie. Theatrical released, home video release, next movie.
Right.
You know, there's not, I don't know if there's the time. They're going to have to start promoting the Han Solo movie before The Last Jedi comes out, I think. Well, I mean, I guess they don't have to, but are they really going to shorten the time spent on hyping up the Han Solo movie because The Last Jedi comes out 5 months before it?
That's a great point, Greg. Might we see a trailer for the Han Solo movie in the theaters while we see episode 8?
I would think they would be putting – usually they're putting the teasers out 9 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
I would think by the end of summer we should have around the release of, say, maybe Spider-Man getting a teaser trailer by the time Spider-Man comes out in the summer, late summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. That's interesting because now, just this past week, Lucasfilm announced the release date for Episode 9. At the same time, they announced the release date for the next Indiana Jones film. So, according to StarWars.com, Star Wars Episode 9 is now set for release on May 24th, 2019. So we've got Han Solo in May of 2018. Right, and then Episode 9 a year later in May of 2019. So then assuming there's going to be another standalone film in 2020, is that right? So it'd be it would be Episode 9 in 2019, and then a year later, in theory, you would have another standalone film in 2020. Now, at the same time, Lucasfilm announced that the next chapter in the Indiana Jones series is confirmed for release date of July 10th, 2020.
Yeah.
So I don't think you put let's just call it the Boba Fett film. I don't think you put the Boba Fett film for release in May when you've got an Indiana Jones movie coming in June or in July. You got two big summer blockbusters.
Well, I think you can in this case because, you know, even though it's all Disney, they're two separate franchises. So I don't think that they'll be as hesitant to, you know, they'll leave enough space in between from the beginning of May when the next Star Wars installment comes to July. I think that's plenty of room so they don't step on each other, you know, for lack of a better word. I do think it's more interesting that they did actually move up the Episode 9 release date to May. I was always the thought that there was no way in hell they were going to push that five-month release schedule between The Last Jedi and Han Solo. I thought for sure they would put Han Solo back to December so they could keep that year gap in between movies. Mm. But no, they say Han Solo's coming out in May, and we're going to keep that year gap by making Episode 9 come out 6 months earlier.
Well, just remember, they were always going to make this push at some point. I believe episode 8 was originally supposed to come out in May, and they pushed it back to December.
Well, Force Awakens was supposed to come out in May as well, and they pushed that back it may have been because of the firing of the Michael Arndt, whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a May release also, and I just figured that the pushing back to December and the success they had in December just meant that hey, we'll move everything back. We don't have, you know, we seem to do well in December. So
yeah, I think they were always going to make the move back to May at some point, and if I am going to do it, I'm going to do it on a standalone film. I'm not going to do it on one of the mainline episode films because those are going to be the higher grossing ones. Do it on Han Solo because that will probably be a more midline grossing one, and the impact will be a bit will be as minimized as possible to the overall franchise. I actually think it's more interesting to watch how some of the other studio films have suddenly started announcing their 2020 and 2021 release dates and schedules. Now that we're past Celebration and Lucasfilm didn't make any announcements of Star Wars movies past Episode 9 in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Although there's been a lot of talk, didn't we hear Bob Iger and Kathleen Kennedy talk about that they're looking at the next 15 years of Star Wars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's how we're going to get, you know, Tatooine Adobe, the Ben Kenobi movie coming out in 2020.
Kenobi Adobe.
It's just a foregone conclusion, though, that's going to happen, right? We're going to get Ewan McGregor in a Obi-Wan Kenobi. At least a one-off.
You know, from his comments, it sounds like he – I remember we there was an interview with him that we talked about, I want to say a year ago, where we felt like his answers were very cagey, and we took that to mean, oh yeah, they're definitely talking to him. Yep. And I saw an interview with him more recently where he was pretty straightforward that no, nothing's happening. I'm waiting for them to call me if they want to do something. That didn't give me a lot of hope for a Ewan McGregor Star Wars movie.
Just seems like such a missed opportunity not to put that on the table, you know?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's just so obvious, on the nose, $500 million movie. Why are you not doing this?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Absolutely. I'm willing to go testicle munching on this.
Wow.
It's going to happen. We're going
to
get
I can't wait to hear the bumper music on this.
Yeah, jeez. I need to.
You're running out of testicles.
I was thinking the same thing.
Stop eating my testes.
Steve's only got two testicles, man.
Well, I'm fixed. I can't have any more children, so it's not like I need them. All right, let's move on from this, guys. One quick thing. We talked a little bit about Star Wars Battlefront, and I just wanted to share this story with you. Actually, this is from Time.com. Fine folks that produce Time magazine, Time.com, have a story about Battlefront 2. And what I thought was interesting for you gamers out there, and I'm talking to you, Scott and Nico primarily, and Greg too, the game will arrive this holiday season, apparently. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, $59.99. But, but you can get an early copy, EA says, on November 14th for $79.99. $80.
And does it include extra DLC, or is it just an early release to the game?
Does not say. According to this article, it's simply an early release to the game. Let me just read this paragraph. It's short. The $59.99 game arrives this holiday for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Though if you're willing to spend $79.99 for a copy of the Deluxe Edition, there you go, Deluxe Edition, EA says you can start playing as early as November 14th.
You know, I feel really bad for the suckers who were roped in for the Deluxe Edition and the DLC on the first Battlefront game, because you just got to play 17 levels of the same game over and over and over and over and over again. You know, that's just the way things go now. I mean, mobile games change the way these things are done. And so things get updated and packs get added. So I think it's ridiculous that a game costs $60 out the gate. And then it's not even a finished game. You got to buy the rest of the add-ons. So you're talking over $100 investment for this game. And Battlefront 2, Scott, I know you liked it. It was a piece of shit. I'm sorry. It was not a good game.
You mean Battlefront 1, the first one?
Battlefront 1, yes.
Yeah, we didn't pay extra for that. We just got the full. There was an option at the beginning of when that came out. And that's fair enough that you didn't like it, Greg. I understand. I understand the complaints of most of the people that played it. And actually, I don't disagree with the thought process behind it. The thing is how are you going to enjoy that game? And I'm going to just throw this out there. So you can criticize me all you want. I'm going to say this. I don't get to play a lot of games with my son, my kid, because he likes certain games that I'm not too into. That happened to be one of those games that we both kind of got into because of our love for Star Wars. And yeah, I could sit there and be a total pisser and be like, wow, this game sucks because of this, this, and this. But it was one that I got to enjoy playing with him. And the initial release with the downloadable content was something that we purchased because we have the Xbox One. So it was all part of this little package that we got. We didn't pay an extra, whatever, $40, $50, $60. We just waited. The worst thing was we had to wait 2 months, 3 months to get the next level or whatever. And, you know, the other thing I just didn't enjoy about it was it didn't have the single player mode. It was always this get online, get into these communities. And sometimes if some people didn't have the downloadable content, you were limited to the communities you could join, basically. And, you know, if you go into a community where everyone is just kick-ass and their levels are at the top and you're just coming in as this, you know, trooper or whatever, you're going to get slaughtered every 5 seconds. That kind of made it miserable, but I got to play a lot and see some really cool ideas that were going on in the game community. But for the most part, I see the problems with the game. I don't sit here and say they didn't exist. They do exist, and I think Battlefront 2 will tackle that. I mean, there's the single player mode that you're going to be able to do. There's a lot more extra things that they're eliminating from the problems and the flaws of Battlefront. And it kind of sucks that it had to go through that, but hey, you know what? I got to play a year's worth of some kick-ass Star Wars, so I'm good with that.
Well, I see what you're saying about being able to play with your kid because, yeah, have an opportunity to play with your children and have them be into it with you. Yeah, that means a lot. And I will say that it by far the best looking Star Wars game that they've ever put out.
Absolutely.
So it does have that going for it as well. So hey, there are some pluses to the steaming pile that it was.
I know. Again, I'm not going to argue with you because I do see that side of it. And I agree to a certain extent. You know, that argument of it being released early and it's not a finished game, I can't tell you how many times, not just you and I have had that conversation, but other people, and you know, just in the communities out there have talked about that. Like, why would they do this? It bothered me. And it's money. It's all money for them. So it doesn't matter on their end.
Yeah.
Yep.
I really think Battlefront 2 will be, I mean, it's already a pretty looking game, but some of the stuff that I've seen and some of the stuff I've read about online, they've improved a hell of a lot. So I say if you didn't like the first one, give the second one a chance. You might enjoy some of the first single player whatever mode.
Yeah, they're putting in a single player campaign, so there will be an opportunity for the people who don't like the online multiplayer portion to go out and just do the single player campaign. So I'm excited for that because, like I say, the game looked great. I just wasn't a fan of the gameplay. So if they can improve the gameplay for me as a person who prefers the single player experience. Yeah. And I'll probably like it a lot better.
I like the fact they also give you some opportunities on there were some issues with weapons and picking up weapons and certain things dealing with that. That's been improved a little bit. And also the gameplay on the lightsaber battles has apparently been improved a lot. And it's not just come in there like a freaking tornado and kill everything in sight.
So let me ask a quick rookie or / geezer question here. When you say single player campaign, is that the same thing as story mode?
Yes, basically. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're sort of walking. Okay. So you're walking through a story and achieving, like, there's a sort of like a plot laid out for you, and you kind of live through the plot, and you've got to
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
The thing with Battlefront 1 was you're always in a mode where you're battling people online. You're
live. Right.
Yeah. And the thing that bugged me was there's a lot of opportunity at the beginning of a brand new game to explore and look at stuff. But when you're jumping in and there's already 50 people in the game and they're all gunning for you, you don't get that chance. And then the limitations on the boundaries of the game also really, like the first time it was released, again, another negative thing about the game was you got to an edge and it's like you can't go past that edge. If you do, you get killed.
Yeah.
It gives you like 5 seconds. Please get back into the game. And it's like, wait a minute. There's a lake over there. I want to go see if there's something over there, a hidden area or something. But no, they kill you off and you respawn somewhere else. Do they call it respawning anymore?
I think that's right. Still,
damn,
spawning is still a thing. I think. Pretty sure.
All right.
I'm old and I don't play these games, but yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. See, some people just live for that stuff, though. There's people who live for that stuff, and mm-hmm. and that's all they play. So I don't know. I'm not one of those guys.
No, me either. I'm with you on that, Greg.
Also, not heard at Celebration was any plans for an unaltered original trilogy Blu-ray. I know you guys will be shocked about that.
So the more I read and think about that, the more I am coming to accept the theory that apparently the distribution rights for episode 4 are with Fox in perpetuity.
Yeah.
So anything is going to have to involve some kind of a deal between Fox and Disney to get that re-released. But the rights for Episode 5 and 6, Empire and Return of the Jedi, are with Fox now, but revert back to Disney in 2020. Mm. So the operating theory is, why would Disney try to do some kind of repackaging for this when they have to split the rights for Empire and Jedi with Fox? They will wait until after the rights become wholly owned by Disney, and then the pieces will start to fall into place, and we'll maybe see that long talked about Blu-ray edition.
Mm-hmm. It's got to happen. There's such a market for it.
Will you eat a testicle?
No, I'm not going to go testicle on this one, but
okay.
But I think we talked about this a few episodes ago. I want the set that I can pick and choose my scenes. I want to see the remade Mos Eisley, but I want to see the original crawl in the beginning. You know, I want to make my own movie. I think it would be fun. You know, fans feel like they have so much ownership over their version of the movie, and I want to be able to create my version. I think that would be so cool. I'd lay out some cash for that.
I would too, and you know, I want to make my own movie too, because I think I told you this, Steve, and I think you like the idea. I had a thought on what the ending for Rogue One actually should have been. Mm. There was a lot of speculation about there would be a post-credit sequence, and then there wasn't. Mm. And I had the thought a week or two ago, what if instead of doing a post-credit sequence, just you hang out in the theater and the credits roll, and instead of going to black, it just comes up with the title card, "A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away." And then the reel ends and the curtains close.
Yeah, that's genius. Love that. Love that.
I can't tell if Scott is just looking at me in disgust or in awe at that idea.
It might be both.
A little bit of both.
It's hard to tell with the lighting.
Max, what do you think?
Let's see. What else do we have? A couple of announcements out of Celebration. I guess I'll throw this in here. Some pretty cool toys came out of Celebration. Most notably, the 6-inch Black Series with the retro packaging. What I love about this packaging, guys.
Black Series was only 6-inch, really?
Wait, I was going to say, really?
Wow, once you go black, maybe you will go back.
Wow. This is going to be a long segment, I can tell you that.
We've just completely lost Steve in this whole conversation.
I don't know. I'm still firmly on board. I'm firmly on board. So,
I think Steve's still enjoying the intercourse.
He doesn't have the sack to hang with this conversation, is what he's saying.
No, I'm gonna sit upright a little more stiffly and get through this. So what's cool about this packaging, though, is they have the Kenner logo on there. The Kenner logo. How cool is that? In the 9.5-inch Black Series.
That's getting bigger.
My God.
That's what she said.
All right. Moving on.
All right. Have we not talked about alcohol enough tonight for people? Have we changed the subject? There was one thing that I was interested in the toys, which was that they're bringing back a vintage line. They're bringing back that original sized action figure, I think it's the 3.5-inch one, and the original Kenner backboard packaging, but they're doing it with new characters. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a pretty interesting, fun, stellar announcement for us retro old school guys.
But are the characters' faces on the little toys going to be as horrendously awful as the old retro toys were?
You know what? I hope so, just to keep it consistent.
Just to make it consistent. You know, there was one thing that I saw that came out of Celebration toy related that I thought was really cool. it really made me laugh. So there's the company that makes the collectible figures where they're modeled on the toys from the 70s and the 80s, the original line of toys that did come out. And so you think of your action figure on the card and everything like that, and that style of action figure, but they're blown up. So where the action figure was the 3 3/4-inch, this one is probably like a 10 or 12-inch doll is what it is. So it's on a huge card is what it's on, right? And they're releasing one for the is it the Dianoga, the trash compactor monster, the Dianoga or something like that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're releasing and this was never released on a card as an action figure. It was only released with the Death Star playset that we talked about a couple episodes ago. But they're actually releasing it on a card, again, in this blown-up, oversized style. And inside the packaging, along with the little Dianoga, is all of this foam that comes with it that came packaged with the Death Star toy as well. So there's all these nice. Little foam bits that are in there. I'm like, that's just awesome.
Now, Hasbro is releasing a 3¾-inch figure, but you can only get it when you come out of the bath or a cold shower.
Shrinkage!
In other news, Disney announced – this is fun. This is really fun.
Yeah, Disney is proposing – so serious up till now.
That's right. Proposing a Star Wars hotel. And here at GamesRadar.com, they have a nice article. Disney's proposed Star Wars hotel is basically Westworld in a galaxy far, far away, minus the murder. By the way, we haven't talked much about Westworld, but I love that show.
Yeah, I was going to say, we get to kill people?
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Let's see. And you thought the Star Wars Land expansions coming to Disneyland and Disney World resorts were cool. According to Walt Disney World News Today, the House of Mouse is currently gauging interest in a Star Wars-themed hotel that puts you smack dab in the middle of the action. $1,000 per guest.
What?
So it's not cheap. $1,000 per guest would include a two-night stay with exclusive park admission to Star Wars Land, buffet breakfasts, lunches, and dinner. So your food is covered. A cantina, a pool area, a water garden, fitness area, and protocol droids at your service. So, you know, you're laying out at the pool and you need a beverage and you call C-3PO over to go fetch you a drink. What do you think? I'm saying take my money right now. I'm in.
I'm not saying I can afford this, but if you break it down on the idea that it's $500 a day basically to include lodging and meal
and admission to the park.
It's not as outrageous as it sounds on first blush.
Right.
Just knowing what those things at something that's not a roach coach are going to cost you in Southern California.
Well, the big question for people like Steve and I is how many people do you get in for that $1,000 a person again?
Well, it says $1,000 per guest is what it
per
says.
Per guest. Well, yeah. See, That's a lot easier for Steve to make, or that for Dave to make than Steve and I and Scott. So
I agree. It's the age old thing. Like it's reasonably it's somewhat affordable for one person to go to an NFL game, but if you're trying to take a family, forget it. Yeah. You just can't do it.
Do I want to put a down payment on a Nissan Rogue One Special Edition, or do I want to go for 2 days to Disney? I don't know. About the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, the sad thing about that is this is a special thing that they're talking about doing. That's almost what it costs to go and stay two nights at Disneyland Hotel and admission to the park and all the price of your breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all your meals.
Yeah.
For 2 days.
Yeah. I think if you're staying at the Disneyland Grand Hotel and throw in the meal cost, I think it's actually cheaper to do that package.
Oh, absolutely.
Than it is to do it a la carte.
I don't think you can get into the Grand Californian for less than $300.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Just walking in the door. Give him $300.
You get a hotel room for that.
But, you're held down by Mickey, and just Pluto just runs through your pockets as you're being held down by this giant mouse.
They're very gentle, though. It's not as bad as it sounds.
Now, this article goes on to say, whereas other themed hotels might have decor featuring a common aesthetic, the proposed Star Wars hotel is almost like a ride in and of itself. That means personal interactions with Star Wars characters, lightsaber and starship training, and even special missions to undertake within the resort.
Well, that
sounds
cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
If there's lightsaber training, I'm in. Yeah. Just take my money.
Yeah. The problem is like Greg mentioned, I'm already in $3,000 on this. So
yeah.
And you guys are what, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000?
Hey, don't give me another one, man. I'm in five.
Oh, you're in five. Okay.
Yeah. Looks like a lot of fun, though. I don't know. It'd be hard to resist that one.
So, suddenly, that $60 for Battlefront 2 is looking better and better.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's good. In other news, CBR.com reporting the rumor that the Mr. Robot creator may write a Star Wars anthology film. That is, Sam Ismail has attended a number of pitch meetings with Lucasfilm over the past 2 years. The sources apparently believe Ismail wants to write the script for the fabled Obi-Wan spinoff movie. So there you go. We might have a writer and a director lining himself up to write the Obi-Wan film.
Man, I was hoping we were getting Rogue 2. I want to know what happened to the Bothans. I know they died, but come on.
That's the wrong Death Star.
Bothans.
Death Star 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There you go. Final news story of the night, guys. Save this one for last. Because this is sort of a mashing of my my work life and my podcast life with this story. The Independent.co.uk and many other outlets reporting McDonald's has new uniforms. Have you seen this? McDonald's employees have new gray and black uniforms, and everyone's saying that they look like uniforms worn by Imperial officers on the Death Star.
The one I heard was they look like the uniforms that were worn by the people in Logan's Run is what I heard.
Yeah,
and they really do. They look like one of those just dystopian 70s everything has gone wrong movies.
Oh, they're awesome. I mean, you could put one of those black Imperial officer hats. Yeah. And it would just fit perfectly on these guys.
Completely.
Yeah. People are comparing it to the Hunger Games as well.
Yeah, sure. I see that. Sure.
Fantastic.
Should I go in and order a cup of Soylent Green and see what happens?
Yeah, well, that's how little you know, Dave. You are ordering a cup of Soylent Green when you go to McDonald's.
It's all made of the same stuff. To serve man, it's a cookbook.
Soylent Green is people.
Actually, if I get anybody that in McDonald's that recognizes a Soylent Green reference, I will eat my own testicle.
It's the very lonely Luke.
You are eating of the week.
Red Five standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Greg, what do you have for us this week?
Welcome to McDonald's. Would you like to try our new Dave's testicle today?
I'll take two.
Would you prefer the left or the right, sir? Ugh. You know, very lonely Luke, he was on a little bit of a roll. Steve had pointed out to me that there was some pretty good stuff. So there's a couple of choices on here, but I'm going with one. Just from April the 25th, just a couple days back. It's a conversation between Ray and old VLL out there. It says, Ray, I want to be your Jedi student. Me, very lonely Luke. Did you hear what happened to all of my other Jedi students? Ray, no. Me, good, let's get started.
That's one that I saw. I thought that was funny.
There's a lot of conversations between he and Ray in these. Some of them are pretty funny. He was inspired by the new trailer, you could tell, because he came up with some good ones over the past couple of weeks. So
the
energy is always entertaining.
The energy is picked up with very lonely Luke out there.
For sure. For sure.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of the show. I can't believe it. Another episode in the books. Let's close this thing down. Wow. Episode 35. In the books.
Now we've got a website.
We've got a web address. That's going to change, by the way. We've got that page up just for the purposes, really, of sharing our show notes with y'all. But We hope to do more with it, but for now, go check it out, thewretchedhive.net. And you find our show notes for this show and every other episode we've published to date. You can also leave us a voicemail, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. You can always email us at wretchedhive@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. Lots of stuff going on there. Scott posting a lot of fun stuff on our Facebook page. Thank you for doing that, Scott.
Anytime.
Find us on Twitter at WretchHivePod. You can subscribe to the show. Maybe the easiest way to do this, to listen to the show, is through iTunes. Go to iTunes, bring up your podcast feed there, and search for the Wretched Hive Podcast. We'll be the first one that pops up. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 stars, any star. We don't care. We would just like to hear from you, fans of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Tell a friend, too. Our listenership is growing slowly but surely. We'd love for your fans to join in and subscribe to the show, too, and let us know what you think. So, guys, final thoughts for episode 35.
I can't wait for December.
That's going to be a blast. Episode 8. My God. Oh, by the way, we've got the Scum and Villainy Cantina coming up, too, by the way. We'll have a special episode about that coming up in the next couple of months for sure. Sorry, Dave, you were saying.
I was just going to say that there's some great non-Star Wars sci-fi movies coming out in the next couple of weeks, Guardians of the Galaxy and Aliens Covenant.
Oh, we may have to have a whole show on Aliens Covenant and Guardians. All right, have a great week, people. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. May the Force be with us all.
Always.